In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We start hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show right now. Where are you at right now? You could be Jackson, Mississippi. We have a new affiliate there. We've actually got a new affiliate coming on board, and I can't say it yet because the paperwork hasn't been signed and they swear me to secrecy. We have another one coming on board that's going to be 46 stations now. So that'll start, I'm going to say April 1st. It'll start by April 1st. So thank you again, 46 stations now, dealing out your college football conversation 2 hours a day, every single day. If you miss a program, you're covered. Go to the App Store, get the SST app, Southern Sports Today. That's the name of the company. They own this show. I'm the hired help. They own it. They have a satellite. So go get the SST app, and if I ever get a couple of $100 million, I mean, I don't imagine I'll spend it on a satellite, but I could. But as of today, I'm still a couple $100 million short, so... get the SST app. You can download it for free. And when you have the app, you just push one button. Instantly, you hear me talking college football. It is the most recent program, the whole show, every day, all free with the SST app.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365.
Oh, Baton Rouge, it's burning to the ground. Headline. LSU sees third player this week enter transfer portal. Subheadline, fifth since mid-February. So, yes, by the headline, over the last month, it's been nothing but bad news. The flood's rising. The arc isn't ready yet. What's going to happen to Baton Rouge? Zach Sheffer, who was a three-star tight end, part of the recruiting class from 2 years ago, he has entered the transfer portal. If he follows through with the transfer and the four other kids all follow through with their transfers, it will leave LSU exactly at the 85 player scholarship limit. Now that's according to the Times Picayune. They have done the math, and I promise you that Ed Orgeron and everyone associated with that program has done the math as well, which is why it actually isn't a case of, oh, the LSU program, what's the problem? There's no problem there. You hate losing kids, but you can't have 89 or 90 on scholarship. And so most often what happens in modern times, it used to be way, way, way back. I bet it was 40 years ago. There's a movie called One-on-One with Robbie Benson, and he was a college basketball player, and his coach tried to run him off the team. That happened every single day, every single day. If you go back 40 years, that was normal. That's how they did it. Today it's more of a conversation. Hey, I want you to have a chance at success. Maybe you should try Colorado State, something along those lines. But there are four player, five actually leaving LSU, and LSU has to have them all leave. So there is no problem. There's no, what's the culture and everybody's abandoning ship? No, that's not it in the least. It's because Ed Orgeron's on the sidelines. We always assume that it's clown show, and that's not the case. Headline, Fresno State losing quarterback to transfer portal. That would be Hunter Rackay. He was a no-show for practice number two earlier this week. He showed up for the first practice. Looked around and realized, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play this year. Fresno's got three other quarterbacks that were ahead of him on the depth chart. But the funny thing is, he was the only one to attempt a pass last year. He was a three-star signee. He came from the junior college ranks. And he is moving on, according to Jeff Tedford. Consider yourself up to date. And that's going to be now through, I've always said this every year, but it's especially true now that the mobility, the player mobility is so radically different than it has been in the past, that we always would have transfers after the conclusion of whatever false quarters, if anybody's on quarter still, fall semester, that you would get to the bowl practices. And that's when you would have kids leave the program. The second round of kids leaving the program would happen at the conclusion of spring practice. I'm going to play this out, and then I'll finish the semester, and then June 1, I'll go enroll at Central Florida or Memphis or Texas. I'm going to do that, though, because I'm going to transfer at the end of the school year. That is not the case anymore. I just told you about a Fresno State quarterback who actually showed up for the first practice, saw he was fourth in line to get reps, didn't show up for the second practice. So we've always had roughly this time of year some transfers, but it every single day when I am getting to the to CFB 365, where I'm going to give you all the headlines. If you're thinking right now, oh gosh, Chuck, every single day I hear you give me three or four folks, there are 10 or 12 that I leave out because I don't necessarily think now when it's a quarterback, I'm going to include that, or when it's a player at Penn State or FSU or something. Big-time recruit, then we're going to include. And when Shea Patterson, Van Jefferson are leaving, Trevon Grimes, yes, we're going to talk about him. Or when there is something where it may shift the landscape of transfers, like those two kids that before last year, remember the NCAA saw those two kids leave, was it a running back leaving Ohio State and an offensive lineman? One went to Duke, one went to UNC, and the NCAA is like, yeah, there is nothing in our rule book that says those two kids should be eligible. Y'all are eligible. Y'all go ahead and play. It'll be fine. See, that's when we talk about it. And it was a four-string running back and a backup offensive lineman, and it was Duke and North Carolina, but we talked about it anyway because that was sort of shifting things. Tate Martell, he's a quarterback, and it's Miami. And I think when he gets his eligibility approved, it changes everything about recruiting and transfers and all related matters. So, yeah, we'll be talking Tate Martell for every one of those boxes that we check. But the truth is, it's been this way since the new year. Every single day, I tell you the three or four that's either a quarterback or a big recruit or a big program or Brew McCoy or whomever else. And I promise you, there's 15 every single day that I leave out. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk to my good friend Matt Wyatt.
Results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, payroll taxes, or have not filed your returns, the IRS will get you. They can take your property, take you to court, even put you in jail. One call to Wahl & Associates and your tax problems are solved. Wahl has saved clients over $150 million in the last 5 years. Our average client settles for about 10% of what is owed. With one call to Wahl, you'll never need to talk to the IRS again. We offer free face-to-face consultations in your local area. Remember, Wahl has a proven track record with a total client savings over $150 million. Call now for your free face-to-face consultation.
800-783-1759. That's 800-783-1759. 800-783-1759.
Attention.
Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-301-6087, 800-301-6087, 800-301-6087.
Dickey Broadcasting is a proud supporter of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And through programs like Team and Training, the Society helps over 3,000 athletes a year accomplish their goal of training and completing an endurance event, including marathons, triathlons, and cycling events. The Team and Training program is open for everyone and has raised almost $1 billion to fund leukemia and lymphoma research since its inception. Visit teamandtraining.org/GA and hit the Tell Me More button. Help save lives 1 mile at a time.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
My name is Ruth Rusi. I'm a retired teacher. I'm 91 years old, and this is how I live United. I say retired, but not really. Once a week, I read books to children as part of United Way's education program. Reading to a child creates links between language and literacy. It creates a bond between grown-up and child. And believe it or not, it prepares them for a better academic future. Oh, we read about frogs and flies and pigs with wings, all sorts of juicy stuff. It's a joy to watch all those little faces. I figure I have the time and they have the need. And I've always believed that if we're not here to help each other, then what are we here for, really? My name is Ruth Russi. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
I have been waiting for years to be a teammate of this next guest, a guy that I've known for a long, long, long time, and former quarterback at Mississippi State, and then he's turned into a media giant. And for years, I would have him on as a guest, and I was thinking, man, it'd be so good to be on the same team. And now we are. ESPN Jackson is our new home in Mississippi, as well as Matt Wyatt. Matt, welcome back to the program. How you doing, brother?
Man, doing great, Chuck. Good to hear your voice. It's even better to be able to flip on the old-fashioned radio around here at night, hear you every night. So really cool. Glad you're here.
And glad to be there, absolutely, ESPN Jackson. Let's talk a little bit about Mississippi State as they hit the practice field back about a week and a half ago or so. Tell us what's going on with Joe Moorhead as a second-year head coach in the SEC, because I think that he has been completely transparent about, yeah, as a second-year head coach, I'm not going to be the guy that I was a year ago. Everybody learns on the job, including a head coach, correct?
Yeah, that's it. Everybody learns on the job. And, you know, I would say number one thing that you probably see that is, you know, a little different this year is just players who are more into the routine and have a greater understanding of what it is they're trying to do offensively. Last year, you think about it, you know, last year was spring number one for a first-year head coach, guys transitioning into what he wanted to do. It was just a 3-4 week learning process. It was 3-4 week kindergarten, a lot of it was. And this is a different deal where you're now trying to progress if you're already thinking about fall. And so that's different. And the other thing is the schedule's a little different for him this year, because they're splitting up spring practice with spring break. Here in Mississippi right now is spring break. And so there's some time off in the middle, kind of the way Dan Mullen used to do it. Last year, they moved spring all together to avoid doing that because of all the install. He didn't want there to be a break in the middle of it. You know, so things are starting to get to a little bit more like what you expect routine-wise and retention and everything else.
If we look, you know, I so want to ask you about the depth chart and players and early enrollees and all that stuff, but I can't do that right now. I got to ask you about some of the coaches who are early enrollees and new arrivals, et cetera. In fact, like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, there are guys added to the staff. There's been some coaching turnover. Just give us a quick walk through some of those.
Yeah, that's right. There's been, you know, some turnover. I was really proud of myself, Chuck. I got a chuckle out of Paul Feinbaum. I was on his show, and he said, what's up with this exodus? And I said, well, we've been trying to figure that out for 2,000 years and still don't have, you know, all the answers. And so at least I got a chuckle out of him on that. But, yeah, there has been an exodus of assistants, and a couple of them went to Alabama. Brian Baker, the defensive line coach, and Charles Huff, the running backs coach. You know, I know from Coach Huff's perspective, you know, he's a guy who wants to be a head coach. And he's young and energetic and very charismatic and smart. You'll have that opportunity, and frankly, we just understand it. Like, you go put Nick Saban on your resume if you can. And it just it's a fast track in terms of getting looks to be that first-time head coach, whether he jumps to the, you know, the MAC or the Sun Belt or whatever it is for that first job. So that'll be around the corner for him. And we kind of knew, you know, that's what he wanted. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you know, you lose your receivers coach, who was kind of your passing game coordinator, Luke Getsy. He was with Green Bay all those years as a receiver guy and then came to Mississippi State. Now he's gone back to the Packers to be the quarterback's coach for Aaron Rodgers. Luke is a great guy and did a good job. It's just, you know, one year there was never that time where everything seemed to really click in the receiver room. And I think it's really best for both sides. You know, he goes back to a situation he's comfortable, and Joe gets to have a different guy to kind of inject into that room to see if changing the dynamic can ramp up the progression and learning process for that receiver room. And so, because the passing game was way, way too inconsistent throughout the year.
Yeah.
Some of the change, you know, you hate to lose Brian Baker, but some of the change is good, in my opinion.
We will talk to you, obviously, as you know, get closer to spring game and then through the summer and all that stuff. But I want to ask you, you know, because we're still only a few practices really into it. Keaton Thompson is the quarterback that, if anybody knows a Mississippi State quarterback, it's going to be Keaton Thompson. He is far from perfect. Accuracy is his biggest issue. Jalen Maiden, I guess, is the two right now. Garrett Schrader is a true freshman. Both of them seem to be more accurate, more precision passers, but they don't have anywhere close to the experience that Keaton has. So what is that balancing act with Coach Moorhead this spring?
Yeah, there is definitely a balancing act. That's the right word for it, because what you don't want to do is limit a young guy's opportunity to really, you know, get better and progress just because you're giving, you know, all the reps to the same guy the same two. So they're kind of balancing it. And it was totally different a year ago, because you knew Fitzgerald was going to be your quarterback, but he couldn't go through all of it because of, you know, recovering from the injury. So they gave all the reps to Keaton, right? So there was no really juggling quarterback reps last spring. This year they're juggling three, because Schrader's good. You know, he's ahead of the curve as a true freshman, but still has a ways to go. And people really don't talk a lot about Jalen Maiden, but in terms of throwing the ball, he's the best natural passer. He throws the most catchable ball. He may be the most accurate ultimately, but he's just not quite the big physical runner that a Keaton is. And so they've got different elements with the different guys too. So there's definitely a juggling act going on. And what I would say is that, you know, Keaton, one of those guys who have to do a lot to keep him from being the guy. And so far, he's having a really good spring. He had a really good spring a year ago. He's just a winner. But I definitely wouldn't count off Jalen Maiden to win the backup job just because he's a sophomore, been around, and he throws the ball so well.
All right, last thing, and I'm going to go outside of football here, because LSU has been making a big deal recently about how, hey, we're going to have beer at our baseball games now. I haven't been to a baseball game in Starkville in about 10, 12 years, but I'm going to tell you my remembrances. If you're out beyond the left field fence, party. Good time out there at Mississippi State Baseball. But I also understand it's different now. Is the left field thing still happening out there? And can you purchase beer at Mississippi State Baseball games? Because, like I said, LSU was making it sound like they just invented sliced bread.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like, you're telling me they didn't have beer at their games before they sold it?
Oh, no, yeah, yeah. They had the beer, but now they can sell it.
That's right. Well, you know, yeah, this new stadium, I'm just telling you, okay, I know a lot of people will say this kind of stuff, and you're like, yeah, I ain't got time to go. Listen, if you can find a way to get to an SEC weekend at this ballpark, it's going to blow you away. When you walk in there, you're going to stand around and look around, and you're not really going to believe, number one, that you're in Starkville, number two, that you're in a college baseball park. It is incredible. And so, you know, it's all new, all the way around. And out there in left, you know, you still have all the outfield, if you want to call it tailgating, it's just a little more uniform and structured. And so instead of some rickety old rusted out metal rack on top of an old built truck that is a liability, frankly, that you wouldn't let your kids get up on. Now it's a concrete structure with a gate around it, all their supplies underneath in their locker, and they come out, set it up, and they're good to go. they've got those lofts out in Lesio, so there's still plenty of cooking and plenty of food. And yeah, I'm sure Bevins are doing. No, they're not selling it, but it's in a cup.
Well, I will tell everybody that I was there, you know, to see the other team head to toe dressed, you know, in the opponent's colors. And it was like most places in the SEC, ACC in the South. Everybody welcomed me in. I didn't have to purchase a beverage or a scrap of food all day. But I was like, LSU fans, you ain't got the party in the SEC when it comes to baseball. That's in Starkville, you know, certainly by reputation and my experience. So, Matt, I appreciate you coming on, brother. Thank you.
Hey, as always, Chuck, thank you.
All right, Matt Wyatt, again from ESPN Jackson. And I don't know what was going on with Matt's phone there. I mean, I don't want you to think I was oblivious to it, but, you know, we'll have to check on the connection next time. But the only time I've been there for a baseball game, I'm telling you, a throwdown party, and it was like 3 o'clock on a Tuesday. So it's just but I know that they had redone everything recently, and they make a priority of it there. And there are places all around the SEC where that's the case. Where if you think back to when you were an undergrad, yeah, just walk right up. You know, it was free or cost $1, $2, and it was a bunch of metal bleachers. It's just like, honestly, you know, a perfect analogy here? Like Major League Baseball teams have realized for decades, you know what spring training was for? It was to get ready for the season. Now spring training, it's the same thing. You're getting ready for the season, getting your work in, but it's a way to make money. And I think that SEC athletic directors, certainly a lot in the ACC and various programs around America, they realize, why are we just giving away college baseball? We can make money with it as well. You got to invest a little bit, got the infrastructure costs, you got to create an environment. But you look all around the SEC and you see what different programs have done to their baseball stadiums or even in some cases baseball complexes. And it's impressive. What Matt said, he's like, you're not going to believe that it's a college baseball stadium or environment.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. That's 800-603-6298.
This is James Laura, managing partner of Alexander Shannara & Associates. As a fan of college football, you know the Southeast is filled with teams who excel at and are serious about their craft. The same can be said about our firm's legal team. With offices in 5 states, including Atlanta, Georgia, our local teams of all-star attorneys are here to serve you. Whether you've been involved in a motor vehicle accident or hurt by a defective product or drug, at Alexander Shannara & Associates, we prove it. Visit us online today at alexandershannara.com.
My name is Brandon. I am a manager of tire sales at Firestone Complete Auto Care. When you come here to get service, we're going to take care of your car. Because you take care of your car is going to take care of you.
Come in for the Firestone Complete Auto Care Epic Sales event and save $100 when you spend $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Valid March 14th through 17th. Exclusions apply. Cannot be combined with other offers. Additional fees may apply where lawful. See store for details.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel!
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom.
You see me around the neighborhood, and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every 5 children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me.
We are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We're retired, and this is how we live United.
We decided to volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too. We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Daylon Mack, Jay Sternberger. My maybe favorite running back in the SEC the past few years, Travion Williams. There's a lot of talent leaving College Station, but there's still a lot hanging around. We got to know Mike Evans and Josh Reynolds and Christian Kirk, all of them. But like every other college program, they move on after 3 or 4 years, and there's still a lot of talent there. And they're actually turning that dial up because of the recruiting that Jimbo is – I'll say finally – I'm going to use the word finally cashing in on – for a Texas A&M head coach, because as much as we got excited about Kevin Sumlin back in 12 and 13, especially that day they went into Bryant Denny, it was a lot of talent going into the program and then in too many cases quickly leaving. So obviously that's something that Jimbo wants to bring to a head. I know Kelamon's going to be the starter barring injury. I don't know who's going to be the 2 or the 3 because, again, a guy like Nick Starkle, who can play in the SEC, he's decided he wants to play in Dallas at Southern – in Fayetteville at Arkansas. So there's a lot of movement going on right now, and still a lot of talent on that roster. And like I said, Jimbo's doing the best he can to re-up that back to what we're used to seeing wearing the Texas A&M uniforms. A man who does a great job covering A&M for Rivals.com. It is Mark Passwaters. Mark, welcome back to the program. How are you today?
Doing good, Chuck. How about you?
Doing all right. I know that A&M, they've got kind of a late start this year, and they're kind of compressing things. You get, 35 days or whatever it is to get all your practices in, and they're going to do it in about 3.5 weeks, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm kind of upset with Jimbo. He did not discuss this matter with me because I'm going to Vegas next week.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to miss the first practice, so I'll have to discuss that matter with him. But, yeah, they are trying to compress things a little bit. And, actually, I think that's just kind of more of the mindset that he's trying to implement. We heard a lot last year about trying to get that physical mindset, that physical and mental toughness.
Mm-hmm.
And, he'll do it any way he can. And if that's compressing the spring schedule, so be it. That's what he's going to do. And it'll be very interesting to see how these 15 practices work out because, for the reasons you mentioned, there are a lot of guys that are gone. There are openings, not just at the backup quarterback position, but you're going to have to figure out who your tight ends are. You've got Baylor Cup, who's a true freshman, who's just a physical freak, who's already on campus, so we'll see what he can do. The defensive line's getting revamped. You're going to have to break in new linebackers. These are guys that, with the exception of Cup and DeMarvin Leal, the top 10 player in the country, that have been on campus for a couple of years, but now this is their real opportunity to cut their teeth as a starter. So it's going to be a real interesting kind of camp.
Yeah, and if we take a look at that first thing I mentioned, who the backup is to Kellen Mond, it's not a situation, like if you had Starkle back, a guy who would be an upperclassman with starting experience and had played a lot, it's a totally different depth chart now for Jimbo.
Yeah, I actually wrote an article this morning that said, Kellen's in the driver's seat, but who's riding shotgun? Nobody knows. At best, you have a backup quarterback that has completed one pass for 8 yards, and that's Connor Bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, you have James Foster, who's a very talented young man from Montgomery who redshirted last year, and Zach Calzada, who is also an early entrant from the Atlanta area, who's got a huge arm, and Jimbo loves him. But outside of Mond and his 30 career starts, you've got a lot of guys who look good on paper, but you have no idea what's going to happen when the lights come on. And that's going to be very interesting. I don't think that competition will be decided until very late in the summer.
Continuing with Mark Passwaters, get him on Twitter at MVP Rivals. He covers Texas A&M for Rivals.com. All right, so Jamon Osmond, I was like everybody else. I saw him as the understudy 2 years ago, and I thought, man, 2018, he's on the big stage, going to be his year. And he had that injury a few weeks into the season. And I know everybody got excited about Courtney Davis. I looked at Kendrick Rogers, and I was like, no, that's the guy. I can't find anybody who agrees with me that Kendrick Rogers can really explode and become a big-time receiver. But kind of walk me through those three and anybody else you think that could become Kellen Mond's favorite target with Osmond, Davis, and Kendrick.
Well, Osmond is the guy with the huge upside. Like you said, he's a five-star recruit. He had a very nice true freshman year. Last year, he was kind of more of a possession kind of receiver. He was really Mond's guy early on with Sternberger. Then he got hurt and missed about a month and a half. And then it became more Courtney Davis. And then Kendrick Rogers had a great game against Clemson, got hurt a little bit. That kind of held him down until the LSU game, where he obviously broke out, especially in the fourth quarter and overtime, had a nice bowl game. You know, you take a look at it, Davis is the smallest of the guys. He's got the best speed. Then you have Rogers, who can really stretch the field when he's healthy and just made some phenomenal catches, but consistency has been his bugaboo. And, yeah, I'm still waiting for Osmond to break out. I mean, he has the most physical talent of the bunch. So you've got those three guys. Then you have Jalen Preston, who is a kid from the Houston area who was really my favorite player in the state 2 years ago, but barely got on the field last year. I think that if he really, you know, figures things out, he could be a threat. And then they have Dylan Wright from Mesquite up in Dallas. He'll be in the summer, and he's 6'5", about 210. You look at that kid, and you think, no, you're not a true freshman. You're a senior in college, not a senior in high school. He's got that kind of physique. So they have a lot of options, but again, you know, what are these guys going to do when they go from being – a good-looking guy on paper to, you know, okay, well, let's see what you can do on the football field.
Wrapping up with Mark Passwaters again, covers Texas A&M for Rivals.com. I want to jump to the linebackers, and I knew what Otara Alaka was, and I was hoping most people did going into 2018. I thought I knew about Tyrell Dodson because of either – I can't remember. Is it either injuries or maybe there was a targeting ejection or something, but Buddy Johnson got on the field more than I was expecting. And the linebackers, actually, I thought it was Olaka and a bunch of question marks. I thought it was a pretty good unit in 2018, but now Dodson, Olaka, and they're gone. So I guess you build from Buddy Johnson out?
Yeah, Buddy Johnson and Anthony Hines. So those are the two guys that you start with. Hines was maybe the top recruited player in the country in terms of offers 2 years ago. Had a very nice freshman year in limited time, got hurt very early in the season last year and redshirted. He's probably going to take Alaka's place in the middle. Buddy Johnson will probably shift over and take Dodson's place. And then you've got to take a look and see what you got. I think Ikenna Okeke, who was in the mix as a backup last year before he tore his ACL, will be a factor. He'll probably take Buddy's old role as the third linebacker, the guy who moves around. They also have a very intriguing prospect in Aaron Hansford. And people may remember him as a wide receiver. He's from the D.C. area. He's 6'4", 240, basically outgrew the position. But A&M recruited him as a wideout, which is why he came to College Station to begin with. But he was an All-American linebacker in high school 3 years ago. Suffered a real bad injury in the Florida game in 2017. Missed all of last year. But as soon as Jimbo arrived in College Station, he looked at him and said, "Son, you're a linebacker." And he didn't get any back talk. So he's going to be on the field this spring. I'm very intrigued to see what they have with him, because if he's something special, and Andre White, a true freshman from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, if those two guys can make an impact, then I think Mike Elko is a lot more confident with what he has on the field than he would be otherwise.
Let me ask you one final question, and it's kind of, sort of a pro preview, because I think I was mentioning when we were bringing you on that Travion, back his freshman year, I saw the kid running. I was like, I know about running backs out of Houston. I know their game, and that is so Travion. He's shorter, squat, thick, muscular, all of that, and after 3 years, he's going to the NFL. Mark, I've seen a lot of conversation about him as a third down back, and I'm like, well, he can catch the ball, but there's nothing about Travion that screams third down back, at least not to me. He's a guy that I think can handle a full workload in the NFL. What do you think an NFL team is going to get when they draft Travion?
I think that they're going to be very happy with what they get. I agree with you on the assumption that he's just a third down back. I think that's kind of an absurdity. If you take a look at how he played, especially the second half of this year, that was not a running back who wore down with carries. This was a guy who got stronger. People say, oh, he doesn't break tackles. No, he had the most yards after contact of any back in the SEC. He's strong. He's fast. I think he's got more agility than people give him credit for, and he's not afraid of contact. He has developed every year as a running back, and I don't think he's played his best football yet. So when I see people saying, oh, he's short, since when did that matter for a running back?
Yeah.
I thought that was a quarterback issue. You know, you need to be able to see vertically or horizontally if you're a running back, find holes, not gaps between linemen's shoulders. So I don't think that, you know, him being 5'8", 5'9", is as big a deal as people are making out to be. It certainly didn't hurt a guy who played in Dallas for a few years. I think his last name was Smith.
Yeah, or so, Barry, or so many other guys. Like I said,
yeah.
I would rather he be 5'9", 5'10", than like Jalen Hurd, if you remember at Tennessee, 6'4". You can't run behind your pads when you're 6'3", 6'4". Actually, you know what? I want to ask you about one more guy, because I was talking about Vernon Jackson at the beginning of the show as a possible replacement with Corbin and whoever else. What is the prognosis for Vernon? Because he is one of those 6'3 guys, right?
Yeah, and like you said, there's an awful lot more square footage to be hit when you're 6'3". But he's 240. He's a big guy, and I really, really like his upside. I grew up a Redskins fan on John Riggins, so I like my backs big if I can get them. But I think he and Cordarian Richardson, the transfer from UCF, those are the guys I think that can kind of fill out that rotation as the big back. And Jackson is a fella who was kind of underrated because he only played 3A ball in Texas high school, which is kind of mid-level. But the guy has really good top-end speed. He's going to hit you before you hit him. I think that he really has a tremendous upside, and he's one of the guys that I'm most excited about watching this spring.
Yeah, me too. And, I heard some of the talk about, well, maybe he's an outside linebacker or, a rush in. I was like, I hope they hand him the football because I want to see that kid run. Mark, I appreciate the input, brother. Thank you so much.
No problem, Chuck. Take care.
All right, Mark Passwaters from Rivals.com. There's sometimes you look at a running back and you're like, he's got that look. Now, it doesn't mean you're always right. I looked at Derrick Henry, and he had that look, but I kept not even like thinking. I kept waiting for the announcement that he had been moved to sort of that Courtney Upshaw position, that, that walk-up, that 255-pound, quote, outside linebacker, but it's really that jack player. Jason Taylor, way back in the day, if you know who Jason Taylor was, came out of either Akron or Kent and played with the Dolphins, bounced to the Jets, and I think finished with the Dolphins 1 year. Jason Taylor was, I'm going to say, essentially – Dan, can I give a quick history lesson? I promise, 60 seconds. David, pay attention because you're young and you don't know any of this.
It's your show.
Thank you. Thank you. Jason Taylor is given a lot of credit for basically either inventing or actually being the first of the jack linebackers, the guy who was almost always the walk-up guy. And he probably could be a defensive end on a four-man front, but we like his speed and athleticism and long arms to get in passing lanes, all that stuff. So we're going to have a three-man front, but then we're going to have a jack backer. And that was Taylor. That's the kind of position when I say like the Courtney Upshaw position in Alabama. Maybe Jarvis Jones at Georgia. Dante Fowler, Ronald Powell, all those guys. When I say that he invented it, he was the first guy at the pro level from a three-man front that we identified as he's really a defensive end, but they stand him up and move him around. If you want to say Lawrence Taylor, that's different. That was a legitimate outside – Lawrence Taylor's never defensive end. He was an outside linebacker with the Giants. Now, at North Carolina, when he wore number 99, it was different. But Lawrence Taylor redefined the outside linebacker position as far as pass rush, and that's the guy. Not the defensive lineman, but it's the outside linebacker that I'm going to play some games with. He's the guy that's going to get 14 sacks this year. Up until Lawrence Taylor, with very rare exception, when you were talking about who's my 14-sack guy, it was always a defensive end. It was Too Tall Jones. It was Harvey Martin. It was, you know, Claude Humphrey. It was just the biggest, baddest dudes. You put him at defensive end and tell him to maul the offensive tackle and go hit the quarterback, and then Lawrence Taylor sort of changed things. There actually was one guy before him, and I'm going to ask Dan if he knows his name. Robert Brazil?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because he was a draft pick out of Jackson State. For some reason, I talked about him a couple of weeks ago. Went to the Houston Oilers, and he actually, and this is almost heresy. I can't believe I'm about to say this. He actually was the first Lawrence Taylor. Oh, man, I feel dirty. He was the first guy that you would put over on the edge and say, sick him.
Yeah, Dr. Doom. I mean, you're exactly right. Yeah. And that station I used to work at, when we tried to petition for him to get into the Hall of Fame, that's exactly what we said, was he was
really
Lawrence Taylor before Lawrence Taylor.
He was. And so because he didn't play in New York and he played for the Oilers and they were good enough then to get to the playoffs after a couple of seasons but never, you know, advanced to a Super Bowl or anything like that, Robert Brazil is one of those names that even like an older fan will go, oh, I've heard of him. Well, you should have, because he was LT about 5 years before. So that's sort of the evolution of that position. And it goes all the way back to a kid that was drafted out of Jackson State in 1975. So he's actually about 5 or 6 years ahead of LT. But that's the position we're talking about that Vernon Jackson was at least being considered to be moved to. And it actually has become a real position since Robert Brazil and LT and then Jason Taylor and everybody else in between kind of revamped the role of the outside linebacker, because it was either drop in coverage or stuff the run. It was not about, oh, I'm about to terrorize your quarterback all day. That's not what linebackers did. And then things changed. So that's what they were talking about with Vernon Jackson. I'm sure he could do that well, but I hope he stays at running back. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with more next.
Being obsessed with celebrity gossip, fame, fortune, and wealth isn't new. It's been around since man inhabited the earth. When the Queen of Sheba, the ultimate diva of her time, traveled over 1,000 miles to discuss the meaning of life with King Solomon, she encountered God. What life lessons did she discover on her search for truth? No matter how much you have, without God, something will always be missing. If you're blessed with wealth, power, and success, do you give God credit? King Solomon did. Are you taking risk in your pursuit of truth? The Queen of Sheba did. A relationship with God and Jesus Christ is greater than any fame, influence, money, wealth, power, education, knowledge, greater than any of those could ever be. What steps are you taking to discover the answers to life's tough questions? God is willing and waiting. You need to only take the first step. This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contract. Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. With our guarantee and transfer service, you'll never pay another timeshare maintenance bill again, and your contract will be terminated. You can begin saving today, even if you've tried another company to get rid of your timeshare. Call and see if we can help. At Resort Release, we only accept payment after an agreement has been made to get you out of your timeshare. Make this completely free call and learn how this honest Midwest-based company can help anyone, anywhere, legally get out of their timeshare nightmare guaranteed. Call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation.
800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. That's 800-712-8005.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Continuing with the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. Thanks to all the guests we had today. Kelly Quinlan, JacketsOnline.com. As Tech is still a few days from getting out on the practice field, their spring game is, I think, April 26th. Friday night, April 26th, Matt Wyatt from Mississippi State. And then also in our ESPN Jackson affiliate, Mark Passwater is talking Texas A&M from Rivals.com. So appreciate everybody making time for us today. Am I spilling the beans about guests tomorrow? Are we having Tony Barnhart on? Can I say it? Tony Barnhart? Tony Barnhart is on tomorrow. Mr. College Football, close personal friend of mine. We're going to have him on. He had a solo sit-down Q&A with Kirby Smart, didn't he?
That is true.
All right, so we're going to have, again, guy that I always love catching up with, access to everybody. Tony Barnhart's going to be on tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. Dan Matthews will be popping in just a couple of minutes. Right now, let's wrap this up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
I made a note last week about something, and I've just been thinking about it the last several days because it's a term that I never heard applied to football players, and I think I love it. I just need some help with what it means. I think we had a guest on last week talking UF and backs and receivers and all that. And the quote was something along the lines of Tyree Cleveland, the five-star kid that was going to Houston and then flipped to UF, you know, signing day. Tyree Cleveland isn't a perfect receiver, but I love his slugging percentage. And I want to bring Dan Matthews in right now because he's got baseball in his personal past and family background. He and his brother both played college baseball. Slugging percentage for a major leaguer, what's a good slugging percentage? I slugged 800 or 650 or whatever. We know what that means. It's it's the same way you figure batting average, except you count each individual base. A single gives you one, a double two, triple three, home run four.
I'm probably the worst baseball stat guy because I'm one of those guys, ERA, RBI,
sure.
Home run. Yeah.
So slugging percentage is not batting average, on base, anything like that. It doesn't involve walks. You get more credit for the bigger plays you make. All right, your slugging percentage as a major league hitter, doubles count twice as much, triples three times, home run. And so that you see the real big play impact that a hitter makes. Folks, I knew exactly what he was saying, and I think most football fans would. Now, I'm not applying a number to it. Oh, he slugged 600. Or, you can't do that. But you know what it means in terms of an offensive skill position player. At least I think I do. It is the instant impact that a guy may only have three catches, but wow, look at the slugging percentage. Now, I'm going to go to the NFL for maybe the most famous example of this of all, and it was Randy Moss on Thanksgiving Day about 20 years ago. Against Dallas, he had three catches for like 170 yards and three touchdowns. That's a slugging percentage. I caught three passes for over 150, and I got in the end zone on all three of my catches. That's what I'm talking about, and I am really looking forward to using that as we get into football season, because you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Consider yourself up to date. That is my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander Shannara and Associates. Wherever you're at in the south part of the country, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, wherever, you need some legal expertise, you need Alexander Shannara and Associates.
That absolutely ruined my Thanksgiving that year, too. That was just such a deflator.
Was that 98? That was his rookie year?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, he absolutely killed the Cowboys that day. Anyway, ESPN is this time of year. Tis the season for lists in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And the most dynamic game breaker on each top 25 team. Right at the top, the two teams, Clemson 1, Alabama 2, names you would not expect. For Clemson, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Ross, T. Higgins, maybe Lynn J. Dixon. You think any of those guys possibly?
Lynn J. Dixon is a really intriguing kid. He was either a four-star or a five-star running back recruit out of Georgia last year, and he's the next home run guy, but I don't know if he's going to get that belt.
You're warm right there, because David Hale, who we'll have on tomorrow, Travis Etienne.
Oh.
And for the reasons being, the man, it seems like every single time, can take it all the way. Four times last year with at least 50 yards on a carry.
That's slugging percentage.
That is slugging percentage right there. Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle, according to Alex Scarborough, he is Alabama's, because for both of them, you would think the quarterbacks. But
yeah,
these guys going elsewhere. But it just shows you that the quarterbacks, hey, while they're good, they do have some good players around them.
Dan Matthews, David, appreciate your work as well. All the guests, everybody, give me a little bit of a break. Promise I'll be back tomorrow. I just need to recharge the batteries. Be back in 22 hours with more college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Debt reduction depends on creditors' balances and payments, client testimonials, or dramatizations.
If you owe $10,000 in credit card debt and your minimum payments siphon away your paycheck each month, you can get debt-free in less time than you think.
I've paid $800 a month for the past 3 years and haven't changed the balance on my credit cards.
Get Debt-Free Now has a program to reduce your debt, stop the harassing phone calls, avoid financial ruin, and settle for less than you owe.
I feel like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
You're pre-approved for our special hardship program if you owe $10,000 or more. Call Get Debt Free Now to resolve your debt once and for all.
My family no longer has 20 years of payments ahead of us at 20% interest.
There's no fees until you see results. Make one monthly program payment and free up your cash. Call 800-834-2933. 800-834-2933. 800-834-2933.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-262-4182. 800-262-4182. That's 800-262-4182.